Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Third hour, speaking of the Preds, tonight from 6 until 9 p.m. First hour will be Preds Insiders. Second hour, Slapshot Radio, followed by Penalty Box Radio. So 3 hours of good hockey talk and Predators discussion. And this will be live at Cherokee Steakhouse. That's located at 450 Cherokee Dock Road. That's in Lebanon. So that's tonight from 6 until 9 p.m. Come by for a full night of Predators talk, great food and drinks, along with the chance to win some great Predators prizes. Speaking of that, we're talking about this team. How do you feel right now as 4 months is about to be in the books? After New Jersey on Thursday night, that'll be game 50. And it's going to be a loaded February and March. 29 games in those 2 months. It's their heaviest workload of the season. Currently, they're on the outside looking in. And we want to know how you feel about this team. Are you optimistic? Do you feel like they can get this turned around? What do you think maybe General Manager David Poile should do at the deadline, which is coming up in 3.5 weeks? Just your thoughts. It's time to let the fans voice however they feel, and let's discuss it.
We have calls and we have the texts ready to go.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We will start with Jeff. Jeff, your thoughts.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. The question I'm about to ask, don't take it that this is any kind of reflection on John Hines, because it's not. The guy, for all I know, may turn out to be the greatest coach in NL history. But here's a question that I'd like somebody to ask David Poile. He gave a guy that has had a losing record and has only tried a head coach a two-year contract on top of this one. The guy had absolutely zero leverage. Why did not he give him the interim tag for this year and let him prove it? That just makes no sense at all to me. That's all I got. Thanks.
Hold on 1 second, Jeff. I understand where you're going with this, but what does that change? I mean, are you going to hold him accountable no matter what happens with this team the rest of the way?
What it changes is for the remainder of this season, if he were to fall flat on his face, then you move on to the next coach.
Well, they could do that anyway.
If you give him the interim tag, now we're on the hook for two more years with this guy. And like I said, I'm not commenting on his ability as a coach. He may, in fact, turn out to be a great coach. My point is, it was not necessary. The guy had zero leverage at all. He was unemployed. And I do not understand why Poile gave the guy this year plus two more year contract. Okay. Make him prove it this season.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for the phone call, as always.
All right.
Look, he said if he falls flat on his face, they can move on anyway. I mean, Peter Laviolette had his contract wasn't expiring at the end of this year. That's how it works
all
in
the
sports.
Time.
Yeah. I mean, coaches get let go with contracts that are still have a year or years on them. So I don't know I guess what I'm getting at is that's fine, but I don't know what that really changes. We're talking about, is this going to change? Can he change? Where is this going the rest of the way? I'm not sure his contract status really changes the dynamics that we're talking about. I understand what he's talking about a nice clean break at the end of the year if it's not satisfactory, but
no,
that could happen anyway. When he says flat on your face, if this thing tanks the rest of the way.
If they were going to do that, they would have gone the interim route.
Well, that's what he was saying.
Yeah. I think they believe that John Hines is an excellent coach. His record in New Jersey should be put in context, I think. It's a little different coaching that team and that status in this team. And this team, they got to win, right? This is a team that's built to win right now. The Devils were in a rebuilding mode for most of the time that he was there, if not the entire time. I see what he's saying
weak
with
on the
leverage.
Back end, too, by the way.
I see what he's saying with the leverage part of it. He probably didn't have a lot of leverage.
Yep.
But at the same time, I think you want to show commitment. You want to show the team that you're committed, that you feel like this is the right guy, that, you know, we want to give you every chance to succeed. And as you said, if it goes bad, then there's nothing that says you can't still make a change.
But here's something else to keep in mind. This core group that I brought up with David Poile and signing the long-term contracts, I mean, they've been together through this whole run for the most part. I mean, the OCs and Ellis's and Forsberg, Johansson been here for a big chunk of it. You've added a couple of pieces here and there, but they have been together, and they've done it one way for the last 5.5 years with Peter Laviolette. Now you're asking John Hines to come in here and not necessarily reinvent the wheel, but change some things in the middle of the season when you don't get a lot of practice time, when you're playing a compact schedule. That's not an easy task, and you're asking these guys to change their way of thinking from what they've done the last 5.5 years. And unfortunately, in the position they're in, it has to be like that. Not everybody can respond that way. I know everybody wants to think that the Preds can become the St. Louis Blues of last year, that they want to be the Pittsburgh Penguins of a few years ago, that name the example of firing the head coach, and then all of a sudden you're winning the Stanley Cup.
Los
Angeles. It doesn't always work that way. And in this situation, as it appears right now, I think this is going to take a little more time than maybe people want it to. And I know that's difficult because we've all enjoyed the ride. We've enjoyed the ride as a radio station and being the flagship and being able to bring playoff coverage and watch some great games in the Stanley Cup final. You, the fans, have enjoyed the ride. But this is, as David Poile said, this is just a down year right now. And whether it turns around and they fix it, time will tell. I mean, you look at last night, I don't feel confident about it, that it's just going to all of a sudden be fixed. And as I said last week, you know, what do you want? You want to barely make it into the playoffs and get knocked out in 5 or 6 games?
The LA Kings barely got into the playoffs in 2012 and won the whole thing.
I understand
so
that.
So that argument would work in the NBA. You know, where is it really worth fighting to get to eighth place? I can get that, right? That's fairly certain you're going to get trounced by the number one seed.
Well, and this market's already proven that the eighth seed,
but it happens,
it served them all right.
It happens most years. A 7 or an 8 seed, almost every year, is right there. We saw what happened to Tampa Bay. Hal Gill made a great point last night. Who was the consistent team all year last year? Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Historically good. Not just a good season. Not just a President's Trophy. They were historically good.
So it is worth fighting your way to get into the playoffs. And if you can get in with some momentum like Columbus did, you know, you can do some damage for sure.
You got any texts?
Oh,
we need
some
to
texts. Okay. We got some texts.
What we got?
So Donovan says, put the Jofa line back together. It was stupid to bust them up in the first place.
Well,
that's one comment.
Look at the stats of the Jofa line this year. It has not been what it has been the three previous years. And I'm not sure what the reason for that is. You know, we know Arvidsson was hurt for a while. Forsberg was hurt for
Arvidsson
a while.
Arvidsson missed, what, 12 games?
Yeah, and Forsberg missed 6 or 7 at the beginning of the season.
Forsberg leads the team in goals. And Johansson's got 27 points through 48 games.
It is mystifying why that line hasn't clicked. They have tried them at times.
Yep, they have.
And it just hasn't gone well. But they have to keep tinkering until they find something. I don't think you can see John Hines is thinking. I got to keep working this until I find something that's going to work. That's been frustrating. There has been a couple of games since he's become the coach where you're like, wow, they hit on something there. There's the four-line attack they're looking for. This combination looks good. And then the next game, it looks different.
Got another one.
It's tough.
Hey, guys, thanks for the hockey talk. Listening on Alexa, which you can do. So very cool. Bum, this team is struggling. I think we need a trade deadline veteran defenseman that can help strengthen the back end. Also, what about Backes? Maybe a center that could score a bit and help with leadership in the room. Didn't get much time in Boston, but they are stacked. Thanks, Brent.
I understand that. And certainly, look, everybody should be open to any suggestions at this point. But the one thing that we're talking about and we're hitting on, yeah, the back end could be better, but this team's having a hard time scoring.
Yeah. The forwards
there's
got
to be offense.
Sync.
There's got to be more offense.
And David Backes is not offense. Now, from the in the room standpoint, you know, how many times have we talked about
Matt Duchesne told me last night, second period intermission, flat out, he's like, we just got to score more. We have got to score more.
And if they knew the answer,
that's weird because
if they knew how to
do
that, they would do it.
But they came into the game in the top 10 in the NHL in scoring. That's it's the weird thing. Recently, they haven't been scoring as much the last few games. Of course, last night you could look upon as everything's new for everybody, right? Nobody had been together for over a week.
Well, they had two last night. They had two in a win against Buffalo, two in a loss to Anaheim. I mean, they're
one in a win against the Jets.
I mean, they're,
right? they haven't
they're
been
right now
much.
In this mode of 1 and 2 goals a game, and that's going to be difficult in the league night in and night out to win.
It's the balance of being able to score and cutting down, because if you look at the stats, their biggest weakness is they give up too many goals.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back. More feedback on the other side. Phone calls, texts, they're all welcome. 615-737-1025 as we discuss the Predators. We do that on the other side. ESPN 1025, the game. We're letting you give us your feedback, how you feel. A lot of you have voices. A lot of you have expressed how you feel, good or bad, about this Predators hockey team. We're now giving you the forum to do so, and tell you what we'll do. We'll now reward somebody. The best call, you can still text, but the best call will win a pair of tickets to see Caleb Plant. He's going to take on, I guess, Vincent Fagenbutz. If I'm saying that wrong, I'm sorry.
Afanasyev?
Sure. In the Super Middleweight World Championship, that's going to be on Saturday, February 15th at Bridgestone Arena. So this is going to be a big boxing match where you should be familiar with Caleb Plant's story. He's from around here, and it's a great story, and he's the champ. And he's going to be fighting here at home. This has meant a lot to him. A lot of his fights have been in Vegas and what have you, but this means a lot for him to fight here in his backyard, and it's going to be at Bridgestone Arena on February 15th. So hope you get a chance to get out and see Sweet Hands, Caleb Plant, defend his title. And you can do that by just calling in and talking with us. It's 615-737-1025. And the best call, we'll put you in Bridgestone Arena on February 15th. That should be a really fun Saturday night. But you're going to have to talk to us about, like I said, good or bad. A lot of you may be fine with, hey, you think this team will get it going? I mean, it's not like this is an impossible task. It's not impossible. We're still in late January. But every game that goes by, you know, you don't pick up any points. The mountain gets a little bit steeper. The climb gets a little bit steeper. And we'll see how it plays out as they're about to hit game 50. Tomorrow night will be game 49. Game 50 will be on Thursday. And then it's going to be February here on Saturday night against Vegas. And so it's going to be a new month. And time is going to be running out. But
as we've said
so many times, that's kind of the counter. And I agree with Willie. I know you've said, but if you know they're going to get in and lose. But this is truly a sport. Just get in and see what happens. There's just way too many cases. There are other leagues. You know, baseball is pretty good about just get in and anything can happen, as we've seen. NBA, not so much. NFL, well, the Titans were the low seed, and they just got to the AFC Championship.
And the Preds have done this before. Now, I thought they were playing better the year that they went to the Cup Final. I know they were the last team to get in, but they played well down the stretch. Things seemed more in sync, and then they got in, and we know the run that they went on. Things have seemed out of sync on this team pretty much since, you know, the beginning, the end of October. I mean, November was abysmal. They go up a little bit, and then they come back down. So I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. I just, from what I've seen, the whole body of work, I just don't see this being a quick fix. I believe this is going to take some tinkering and take an off season to get this thing back on track.
No matter what happens at the deadline or around the deadline?
I can tell you, though, I think a lot of people would have said the same thing about the 2016-2017 team. They were struggling for a while. And they they were struggling into January.
And guess what? I was wrong. I was wrong that year. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. But I'm going on the eye test. I'm going on looking at the stats. I'm going on what I've seen. And sure, could David Poyle say he's going to make a big move at the deadline and he trades an expiring contract and gets a defenseman and or whatever? I mean, does a rental help you? It depends on where you're at in the standings when you get to that point. I don't know. I don't see this magic fix right now. And you hear the frustration in everyone's voice that sometimes you get to a point where you just got to step away and hit reset. And that could be the offseason. But again, I hope I'm wrong.
Mike on Twitter says, by the way, the number 615-737-1025. We'll get back to the phones in just a second. Mike on Twitter says, watching the Predators this season, this is what I see. They have trouble passing and possessing the puck. Sometimes it reminds me of a hot potato. Crispy always says tape-to-tape passes. The Preds have a hard time doing that. What do you think of that?
I think it depends on the night. I think when they're clicking, they can look great in that area. I do think when they've had those games, I think last night would be an example where let's take the goal that Jason Spezza scored. Now, Jason Spezza is 36 years old. He's had a lot of great times in the league. He's not what he was. But last night, he made a big play, right? The Nashville kills off a big penalty. They're down 3-1. Nick Bonino, by the way, it was a ticky-tack call where I think Austin Matthews, to me, fooled the ref a little bit. He chicken-winged Nick Bonino's stick and drew a hooking call. Okay. It happens.
He's a star in the league, and sometimes stars get calls.
You got to kill it off. They kill it. Toronto hit the post, but they didn't get any other shots, right? Nope. So you got it done.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Nick Bonino out of the box. Nashville is still trying to get reorganized. Bonino's just trying to get back into play, and Spezza puts one perfect in the upper corner. So he got an opportunity. He buried it. The Predators in the first period, let's take for example, they had 15 shots. They had a lot of good action towards the net. Easily played well enough to be in the lead, I thought, after one. But they had 10 missed shots where they one hit the post. But there's other times where that same opening maybe is there, and for whatever reason, they're just, you know, it's not there. Or there's a two-on-one. You're one pass away. There was one late in the game when they rallied where I think it was Arvidsson, maybe Duchesne tried to flip it over to Rocco Grimaldi, went right through his legs, right? He was right there. Craig Smith had one up. So when you're not going well, your playmakers just aren't making the plays. Like, they just weren't making plays last night. They're capable of it. They got to get hot, right? I think they have the ability. Nobody's going to be hot for 82 games, but the best teams have somebody going each night, right? Among your best players, you've got at least one or two lines that are making plays that night. That's what has to happen a little bit more.
Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're up next. Welcome in. What do you think?
Well, I've been out of town for about 3 weeks and through the break and so forth, so I haven't seen all the games, but I got in last night, and I watched most of the game until it got out of it. But one, and Willie, tell me I'm wrong about this, but I just saw some body language from Pekka that just, I thought he just, I hadn't seen it before, and he's been the guy that's held us together for so long, made play after play after play. And again, my focus was half on the game and half on other things, but I just saw some body language from him last night that made me think that he's perplexed, to say the least, on what this team is doing.
That perplexed would not be the word I would use. I would say that what you saw from Pekka last night, and you've seen a few times, is just utter frustration, right? He wants to win so bad, and he has had some nights where, you know, something like let's take two of the goals last night that happened to him. One, the first goal is a great play. The guy gets possession, flings it all the way down, perfect pass. Nylander buries the breakaway. Huge, big play to start the game. That's another thing that has happened a lot, especially at home, right? Boom, the other team jumps on you for an early lead.
But they also had breakaways later in the game that he stopped.
Yeah, so. I thought he made some really big saves last night.
Yep.
So two key goals. One, Nashville ties the game 40 seconds later, right back in it. First period's going. There's a play down low. Yannick Weber battling. Again, playing against the top players, right? He's out there against the top line. That's really not his role, but he's thrust into that. Does a good job. He boxes out, but in the process, he's trying to clear the puck. He banks it right off of, or the puck gets banked off of him and through Pekka's legs. Just a kind of a nothing goal. You're in the right spot, just didn't make the play. It's in. So that's a frustrating goal for a goalie to give up. Then there was another one, the third goal, where Nashville's in full scramble. They're getting overwhelmed. They can't get the puck out of their own zone. Pekka's trying to make a save, and Mattias Ekholm's battling in front, and he takes Pekka right out of the play, mm-hmm. right? And so they collide. The effort's there. The want's there. So it's frustrating. So I see that from Pekka. He's banging the stick. You know, he's ticked off. He is a fierce competitor. So I'm okay with that body language. He should be frustrated.
Sure.
Right? He wants to do well.
Things happen when he shows the frustration because everybody listens.
No question. No question. I don't think there's anything wrong with his body language.
Yeah, none at all.
I have no problem with that.
And we got We got a text asking, are we seeing Pecorino show signs of a father time? Maybe, but you also have to just factor in that, you know, they're not playing well in front of him. I mean, that's a part of it. Has he played to his best? No. His sorrows? No. But I think it's a total team thing. It's not just, oh, Pekka's getting old, so you know that's it. That's the problem. I think it's a little bit of everything.
Well, we said it last week. If your goalie's save percentages are under 90, you're not going to make the playoffs.
Tough. Sure,
you are not going to make it. So it how do you get the? They've got to play better, Pekka, along with UC Saros, and they've got to play better in front of them.
Let's go to Michael. Michael, what do you think?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, so the last three or four seasons, including the Stanley Cup run, we've been a top-tier team. And, I mean, it's obviously completely night and day this year. I know it's mid-season, but it really worries me that, something similar to what happened with the Blackhawks is happening with us. Like, granted, they had multiple championships, and we only got that one Stanley Cup run, but it's really, really mind-boggling with all the talent that we have. Like, and it's similar to the talent that the Blackhawks have. You know, you pay all those players, and then you're not getting reciprocated for the money that they're making. I feel like Laviolette made all the change. Like, he did everything in his power, and obviously his message became stale. But we got this new guy in Hines. You know, he's switching up the lineup as much as he can, try to figure out, you know, what's successful and getting us wins. And it really worries me that we're on the decline. I'm hoping it's just a down year or at the very most, but hopefully like we can get something together and pull off, you know, and eke our way into the playoffs, something similar to what the Blues, you know, concocted last year. But, that's where I'm at with it. It scares me that, you know, this is a decline after all these years of success and winning. So that's my take.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
We'll come back. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's our weekly chat over an hour ago with David Poile. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15, Predators general manager. And him talking about the state of the Predators. So we're talking about that with you right now at 615-737-1025. We're going to give you an opportunity to see Caleb Plant. He's going to defend his super middleweight world championship. That's going to be on Saturday, February 15th at Bridgestone Arena. Of course, he is the Nashville native son, right? Sweet Hands. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It means a lot for him to be here. By the way, those tickets are on sale. And you can get them at Ticketmaster.com. But we're giving you a chance to win them. But all you have to do is weigh in on how you feel right now about this Predators team as we're about to close the book on the month of January. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thanks. And is a longtime season ticket holder before the 2017 run. I think the biggest difference that I see, it doesn't feel like stale message. It doesn't feel like coaching issues or even talent issues. What I see is apathy, or what looks like apathy. And I know it's not fair to judge, you know, guys' hearts or other feeling, but it's just, I don't see the same kind of fire that we got out of lesser talented players, with Harry Zolnarchuk or Freddie Gaudreau or even Cody McLeod, guys that would get out there and fight every shift, whether or not they were going to get beat. It's not there anymore. Even Arvy Hussle is you know, stops on the blue line and isn't full gas all the time. It just seems like these guys play with some level of apathy or lack of care in the result. I don't know what I'm looking for. I want someone to break a stick when they lose or something, but it feels like they're beaten, and that apathy has worked its way from the locker room through the stands, where, you know, a few years ago, every time the opposing team would score, Bridgestone would get louder, and it's a golf clap in there now at best. It feels like there's been a death that has worked its way from downstairs to the 300s, and I don't understand it.
Paul, thank you for the phone call.
That's a good call.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of fans who feel like Paul. I mean, we hear it all the time.
They come talk to us in Barrel House.
I mean, there's no doubt. Paul is not on an island by himself. He is not there with Wilson, his volleyball friend, okay? There's a lot of people. Nope. Wilson the volleyball. That feel that way, and I get it. Last night, by the way, in the third period, I thought the crowd was trying to get the team in when they were buzzing. And they cut it to 4-2. They were trying to get them involved. They were trying to get going. Of course, there were a lot of Toronto fans in there, but the Predators fans were trying to get things going. But, you know, I think there was definitely some truth to what he said. There's no doubt that other people feel that way. There's been, you know, I've said it before. There's a reason why fans tend to gravitate to guys like Rocco Grimaldi and Victor Arvidsson, who, you know, we just talked about. He's missed time with an injury. Doesn't look like he's been exactly the same since he's been back. But there's a reason why they, you know, Craig Smith is another one. Mm-hmm. You know why we call him Crazy Legs? They like to feel like they're giving it everything they've got out there. And those guys portray that, right? And I think Nick Bonino's, we've talked about that line, Bonino, Grimaldi, and Smith went together, and they've been together a lot this year. That's probably been their most consistent line all season long. And why? Because it looks like they portray like they are working hard every shift. When they are out there, they are very visible, and they're doing the dirty work, and they're working hard. And in most cases, they've been rewarded for their hard work.
I think that was a very good point by Paul. And something that stood out from his call and then David Poyle said in that clip that we played that, you know, if I knew what the answer was, we would figure it out. And then I go back to what Paul said, and Peter Laviolette was really good at getting the best out of those scrappy, under the radar. You know, Harry Zolnarchuk was a great example of the other teams didn't want him. Peter Laviolette got the best out of him. And I don't know John Hines well enough yet to be able to tell if he can do that. But if you look at the history of the Predators, going back to the early days with Barry Trotz, They built teams around guys like that because that's all they could get at the time. And then they get into a position where they're competing and they're making the playoffs and you have the new ownership and so they're spending more money and you bring in these free agents or you make trades or you're signing guys that you draft and you're getting contracts. It changes the whole landscape of what the organization looks like. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not bringing this up to say that's a bad thing at all. But I just think that now the identity of the team has changed. And the early days of Peter Laviolette was even that you built around some of these guys that the Victor Arvidsson, you know, that was just this undersized guy that's going to buzz around the net. He's going to get knocked down. He's going to pop right back up. And Laviolette was so good at getting the best out of players like that. And now you have a team of a core group that are skill players and they're locked into these contracts that now I think the whole organization is trying to figure out, okay, how do you coach those guys? How do you get the best out of them? How do you stop them from being complacent? The first way to do it is you make a coaching change, whether that's the right move, the wrong move, or somewhere in the middle. But that's where you start. That's what David Poyle's trying to figure out. That's why he sounds so frustrated. And you can tell when he comes on with us and when he talks to anyone else, it's just he wants to figure it out. He just hasn't figured out how to figure it out yet.
Well, I don't know that there's anything you could do for that intangible energy that the caller is talking about. I sense what he's saying. Apathy, I'm not willing to go there. I think you do see a lot of guys that are frustrated and banging sticks and things like that. But I agree 100% that they have not had that buzz consistently enough, especially at home, where they can get the crowd behind them. That's what was refreshing about the Buffalo win going into the break, is they had that. That felt like a night where they got the crowd involved. They were making those energy plays. They stressed that. And then last night it wasn't there again. Or, you know, they got it, I thought the energy was pretty good in the first period, and then it just disappeared in the second period. So it's an interesting point about the Zolnarchuks, the Cody McLeods, the guys that Peter Laviolette just wanted to have around.
Yep.
Remember, they brought back Harry Zolnarchuk the following year, the year after they went to the Stanley Cup final, just to have him around, to have him as a black ace.
Cody McLeod.
Cody McLeod, same way. He didn't play him, but he just wanted to have those guys around because they provided that energy in his mind, right? I don't know if that's the answer or not. That's an intangible, right? That's one that you can't really quantify. But I do think that ingredient, they could use. They certainly need that more, right? Whether it's provided by those guys or provided by the guys they already have. They haven't had that sustained tenacity every night.
Let me tell you something I've heard, a pretty consistent theme from a lot of fans over the course of this season, especially here as time has gone on from what I'm about to bring up, and I want to see if you guys agree or not. There's a lot of the fan base that believe this, everything changed for this team this season on Halloween night, the Calgary game.
I think that's fair.
The 3-goal lead in the third period that went away. And they, you know, then they had a bad. There's a lot of people that believe things changed after that Calgary game. Do you guys buy into that at all?
That kind of game should not affect the rest of your season for a veteran team. It shouldn't.
Yep. It shouldn't.
But it definitely, if you look at the record since then, they've had a lot more of, you know, laying eggs at home. There was the nightmare against the Golden Knights not
Vegas.
Long after that.
Yep.
Then they've had some games where they're just duds at home. I mean, that's something you can't quantify. I can't do an analytical study and say, this is why that happened. It would be just totally, but that is the moment in time where it does seem like, you know, they certainly haven't played. Well,
because
well
they were humming the first month of the season. That was the last game of the month,
especially at home.
Yeah.
Right? They have not played as well at home. They've had a poor home record since then.
They've had
right?
two home wins in the last month.
Yeah,
and, I think and Buffalo and Arizona.
Right. Something that is happening in the building as well. Hal, I thought, hit on very well. When you have a passionate fan base, he said this is part of the journey of a fan base, mm-hmm. right? He's played in Boston. He's played in Toronto. He's played in Montreal. He's played in Pittsburgh. The expectations create this thing where all of a sudden, if it's not going well, there is a level of frustration that maybe the fans from 2008 or 2010 didn't have, right? Because it's just so... You know, you can't believe. Why aren't we seeing this magic
that
we have seen for
a
long time?
It grows.
It's bigger.
When the masses,
yeah.
when there's more people
right.
involved, you're going to get more people.
And they have less patience.
They're less patient. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of people. Let's just be perfectly honest. A lot of people jumped on the ride when things were great.
Sure.
And so when you jump on the ride when things are awesome,
and they haven't gone
and that's
through,
all you've
maybe
known,
the hard times.
Right.
That,
it's like if you all you remember is a lot of good, most of it good, then you're not really handling things when they aren't always good, so they don't really understand. The difference is there's more people, and a lot of them jumped on board when things were really, really good, and so they're not sure how to handle when things aren't really good all the time.
I thought it was a good rant, not a rant, but a good, you know, thing that Hal threw out there, saying just it's worth it. Ride through the tough times, as hard as it can be. I mean, you walk out of that game last night and you look at Twitter, it's over. It's over.
Well, You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Walk away, you're not a real fan.
Right.
Walk away, say, I get, because we used to get all that. Oh, I'm done. Yeah. Well, fine, then go. I mean, right. Great. So what are you going to do? What team are you going to latch onto? The first time they lose, you're out too? I mean, real fans are going to stick there anyway. That doesn't mean they can't voice their opinion, but you don't have a choice but to ride it through.
I mean, you have to.
If you're a fan. I mean, you're the weakest fan ever if you jump off. You say, that's it. They're not winning enough for me. I'm done. That's incredibly weak. Doesn't mean you can't voice your displeasure.
Exactly.
You can do that, but you don't have a choice. I mean, hang in there. That's not even an option. Hang in there if you're a real fan. All right, we'll come back, close out hour number three next. Out to Los Angeles at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to Linda Cohn from ESPN. We'll hit on a variety of things with Linda, as we always do. So we're looking forward to that coming at 1 o'clock. Right now, we're talking to you. Last chance to win tickets to see Caleb Plant. He's going to be defending his super middleweight world championship on Saturday, February 15th at Bridgestone Arena. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey guys, longtime caller. So one of the things I'm seeing with the Preds is, and with the fan base, is maybe when they're signing a player, they're more falling in love with what they've done in the past instead of what they can do in the future, and how they lose their motivation with the crowd into it like it always is a mystery to me. You're a pro. You're living your dream. How do you just get comfortable with just being a pro?
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate the phone call. Look, a lot of people ask that question because I know a lot of people have been frustrated. We've talked about it on the show, right? When you hear them, well, we took our foot off the gas, or, you know, we laid back. You know, the
it fans, was a wake-up call.
Right. Fans are always like, how can you do? Well, I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, and I get it. I totally get it. But as we've tried to do a lot on this show over the years, they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is the perfect segue into something.
This is the reality. They're not robots, okay? If everybody came out there, just think about this, and I'm not making excuses, and I know a lot of you are like, I don't want to hear. I get it. Like I said, I understand. Yes, we all can agree. They make a lot of money. They get to play a game, and they're entertainers along with professional athletes. I get that. But if they all came out and did everything at the same level, night in and night out, well, everybody would be, right? Pick a team. Pick a team, and if they did that, they would – how would you lose? I mean, that's the way it works in sports. You have off nights. It works that way in life. We have off days here on the show. We don't like to admit it, but it happens. You at your workplace have off days. The difference is, I get it. They get paid a lot, and they are entertainers. They're there to entertain you as well as being professional athletes. But, you know, they get sick this time of year. Sometimes they play through sicknesses. Sometimes they're dealing with an injury that they're playing through. Sometimes they're just not in it. Maybe things aren't great at home or what have you. Everybody get, and I know a lot of fans will be like, that's just excuses. And that's fine. I understand that. You can still be mad at that. But just understand that there is no such thing as 60 minutes, night in and night out. There is no perfect game, night in and night out. You can have great games, but you can't do it over 82 games. That's any sport.
But he's asking whether when a guy signs a long-term deal, does that change the way the guy plays every night?
That is a very fair question.
And I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, he was bringing up the fans. And the fans are there, and they're loud, and that, I do understand what he's talking about. Like, how could they not bring it in front of their home crowd that's sold out, and they're there? They're lively. They're rooting for them.
They talk about it in their room a lot. Roman Yossi talks about it all the time. They want to do well in front of the fans. I can't answer the question. I think everybody, there are some players that struggle for one reason or another after they sign a long contract. Others are not are no different after they sign. But let me tell you, this is how you do it in the NHL. Every team signs their guys to the long-term deal. Look at every single team in the league. So I don't want to hear that the Predators are any different than any other team. You have to sign guys to 7 or 8 year deals if you want the best players. Otherwise, you get the scraps left over. You don't, or you lose your guys to other teams, because if you don't pay them, somebody else is going to pay them. That is the going rate for the top players. So I don't buy that argument. Okay, every team has guys signed to 7 or 8 year deals. Every one of them.
Right. So let me ask you guys this.
Doesn't always mean that it's the right move.
It's the only move.
We all thought that losing Tavares was going to sink the Islanders. It hasn't sunk them at all. They've been better than Toronto.
Fair point.
Okay.
But
guess what? Toronto unloaded.
But do you think the Islanders want?
We all thought the Islanders were done. They just lost their best player.
Did they want John Tavares? Did they offer him the same amount of money? Yes, they did. They offered it.
Agree. But he didn't.
They had no choice. They had to move on. He didn't want to play for them.
Yeah.
And they've made the most of it. There's different ways to do it. But if you want John Tavares on your team, a lot of teams did. That's what it costs. Yep. That's what it costs. So,
you guys have been doing this for how long? How long have you been doing this?
A long time.
20-ish years. Right?
1993. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Every day you wake up and you're just motivated and ready to go and walk in and do a show, right?
Try to be, yep. That's the plan.
You try to be. But we all know that we're human, as you just brought up. You read my mind, because this is exactly where I wanted to take this, and Jerry read my mind too, because that's where we have a hard time separating things of, oh, they're millionaires. They should be motivated. It's just like you were saying. Now, here's the question that I have for David Poile and John Hines and everybody in the organization. Because as we talked about earlier, they have built, a franchise on these players that aren't signed to the big contracts, and they are always playing with a chip on their shoulder, and so they have that motivation. Teron uses a lot of analogies with some of the Titans guys.
We talked about it yesterday.
The see their ribs, have that dog in them, however you want to put it.
I said, let me see how they are after they sign their big deal.
Exactly. That's where I'm going. I don't know if anyone has the answer to this, but how do you motivate a millionaire?
I am not envious of David Poile and his job, because that's what all general managers in all sports have to figure out, right? We would all like to believe that everybody's wired like Kobe Bryant, right? Like he was wired. That's what we appreciated about him. Everybody would like to believe, no matter if Kobe Bryant made $1 a game or if he made $100 million, Kobe Bryant was going to play the same way no matter what. And we would like for all of our athletes in any sport to be wired that way, whether they sign a $100 million deal or a $3 million deal, that they're wired and they play like that. But as we know in sports, whether it's hockey, what we're talking about now, or any other sport, not everybody does that. Some guys get really motivated when it's time for that big contract. And then when they get that big contract, what happens? We could sit here and list examples for the whole next hour. The whole next hour, we could list examples all over sports. Guys that, boy, in that contract year, man, did they turn it on. Woo, they were good. And then they got the big deal, and where have they been since? That's how it works. That's why I said I'm not envious of David Poile. I'm not envious of any general manager. John Robinson's going to have to figure that out with the Titans. Is Derrick Henry going to be the same? Is Ryan Tannehill going to be the same? He's going to want $30 million a year. Is he going to be the same? Is he coming back exactly like he was this year or even better? Or is there a step back? And people are like, how could you give him $30 million? You knew what he was. He's reverting back to Miami days. You watch. That's what will happen.
But what do the great teams do?
But as what Willie just said, though, what do you have to do, though? Okay, what are your choices? That's what you have to do.
Right.
You have to do it. But I'm not envious of what they have, because they hope that everybody who signs an 8-year, $64 million deal plays that way for the next 8 years, right? That's what everybody hopes. pick a sport. But it doesn't always play out that way. That's just not how life works. Some guys remain the same. Some guys don't.
But the great teams and the great coaches, general managers, all of that, they figure it out at least for the time being. I mean, you know, the Patriots aren't a great example because they shift things so much. But there are teams that have figured it out of, okay, you know what, we got these high-profile players. They're making a lot of money. But they get the best out of them, and they win championships. You win one championship, and that all goes away. I mean, that's what we've talked about with the Titans. That if you overpay Henry, you overpay Tannehill, but if you get a Super Bowl out of it, you've done your job.
It's worth it, yep.
And that's the same thing with the Predators. Now, right now, we have everything under a microscope because this year isn't going well. But had they won the Cup 3 years ago, it's a different conversation. If they win the Cup next year, it's a different conversation. But that's why you do it. To Willie's point, that's why you have to sign these guys to long-term deals. I don't fault David Poile for doing it. What it looks like at the end of the day, at the end of the movie, time will tell. But you have to.
Now you have to figure out how to get your bang for your buck, like Dallas went through last year. Remember the story we talked about with the Stars? With their two stars? That had the big contracts. They got called out publicly.
Yeah.
By lights saying, hey, we need the guys we're paying all this money to show up night in and night out. We need production. And you know what? After that, things started turning around for Dallas. Sometimes you just need a kick in the butt.
Well, and look, I think David Poile's tried to do that. He said on this show, he said in press conferences, he said it multiple times that we have players not playing to the most – to their full ability. He has said that. So I think in some ways, to a different extent, he's trying to do that.
Yep.
But again, it goes back to my original question. How do you motivate millionaires? I don't have the answer.
I'd like to find out.
Well, everybody's tried different ways, right? If you look through time, some people call them out.
Make me one, and let's find out.
Some people call them out publicly. Some people never call them out publicly. Some people make those guys practice harder. Some people coddle those guys. I mean, there's any number of psychological ploys that teams do. But you know what? I don't know that it's any different with non-millionaires. I think motivating people is probably the same either way. And that,
fair point.
And many people are self-motivated. A lot of people need a little extra kick for motivation.
I'm a dollar heir, but I'm motivated every day.
And some people, dollar no matter what you do, they're not going to become somebody that they're not.
That's right.
Right?
We'll come back. Linda Cohn on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.